Amen. At this time, I'm going to hand the podium over to Dr. Richard Rodriguez.
Good morning. It's great to be here at the Queen's Church, and I just am so honored and thankful for the reception that I've received. It has just been amazing to spend time with Sean and Robin. You know, we our families are knit together. I mean, we love one another deeply. And it was hard when they left Miami. You don't know how blessed you are to have Sean and Robin. I mean, I was in a bad place, man, when they left us. And, you know, I remember one time there was some kind of controversy back home after they had left. Not of their fault, but just, I just wasn't feeling right about a couple things. And I remember calling Sean. I couldn't even say, "Hi, Sean." I couldn't even get it out because I just began to weep. Because I missed him so much. And Robin is my wife's, I have to say, best friend. I mean, she's the one that she trusts the most. Our children are tight with each other. And so I just am so thankful and so grateful to be here, to be invited, my brother and my sister. And you are blessed. Don't let them leave. That was a mistake I made. If I had to do it all over again, I already told Sean. I would have led a rebellion. I would have been in trouble with the Lord, but I would have led a rebellion to keep my brother and sister in Miami. And they took me to Harlem, Spanish Harlem specifically, where I was born. I'm African American and Puerto Rican. There's a lot of that in New York. Yes. There's a lot of that in New Yorkican. And they took me to the old stomping grounds. And everything seemed so small and yet so big. And it was really amazing to be able to go back and to be able to share my life with them and tell them things I had never told them before. It was amazing. They started asking me all these questions. So I had to, you know, open up. And it was good. So it was great. And this has been great. Friday was amazing. I was encouraged. The only thing I was upset at, we ran out of time. I wish we had more time. And the brothers and sisters here, just the fire, you know. And really today, this worship service. And just meeting some of you, meeting Daniel and spending some time with him. And just meeting some of you, being able to fellowship with Hugo and others. And then too, the singing was amazing. And some of the songs were just really on point. You know, it just really, you'll see as I get into the lesson, some of these songs were really on point. And then got a chance to spend time with Samuel. Samuel, he is a smooth operator, you know. He don't say a whole lot. He listens really well. I think I gave him my whole dissertation over lunch on Friday. He listened. He was so patient. But he didn't say anything about the New England Patriots. I'm a Dolphin fan. And I know I got a lot of Jet fans, Giant fans here. New England, you know, he kept it quiet, you know. He didn't want to hurt my feelings. We have struggled. We have paid back. You know, our pride in the 70s, I mean, we did a lot of stuff then, and since then, nothing. So it's been really bad. And then I appreciate my brother Desmond calling me out. He's talking about how he's losing weight. And I'm like, I gotta follow that. Usually I have people telling me, bro, y'all gotta follow you after, you know, I gotta follow you after, you know, you speak. But now I gotta follow Desmond. It's obvious that I need to take the same challenge that Desmond gave. Thank you. Where's Desmond at? Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. God used you to keep me humble. Amen. thorn in my flesh, praise the Lord, to keep me from becoming conceited. That's right. All right. Sean warned me I only have 45 minutes. Hopefully he invites me back after I break that limit. Remember, we're brothers. We're close. We love one another, right? Amen. I had to soften them up a little bit. Crossing over to the other side of race. You know, on Friday, I talked about, is God a racist? And for a lot of people, I probably appeared, you know, very radical on Friday. But it was the word of God speaking, amen? But today, I want to get you thinking about this Black History Month. And it is, not only is it Black History Month, it's Black History Year. Did you know that? 400 years this year since the African arrived, sold as a slave in Virginia, 2019. So it's Black History Month, but it's also Black History Month year, so it's 400 years. So, but I want to get you to think, we're going to talk about race, but I want you to think about crossing over. Crossing over. And I want to also share with you my book that I wrote. It's a book based on my dissertation and my research. And for a long time, and I just got tired of it, I kept hearing about how slavery, that Christianity is the blame for slavery. Well, I'm here to testify that the truth says otherwise. If anything, American slavery violated the scriptures. And so I wrote a book about it. I just want to share it with you. Let's move on, though. We're going to talk about four things real quick. I want to encourage you and challenge you to decide to cross over to the other side. I want to encourage you and challenge you to be open and be willing to walk on water to the other side. I want to encourage you to ignore your fears as you go to the other side. And then I want to prophesy and predict for you what you will find when you get to the other side. Are you with me, church? Let's look at this scripture here. In Matthew 14, verse 18, let me set the stage for you. Jesus has lost his cousin, his best friend up until that point, his biggest cheerleader. And John the Baptist has been murdered. And John the Baptist was very close to Jesus, and Jesus wanted to be alone. He went to mourn John the Baptist. But a crowd of people were coming to him. And Jesus, we know who Jesus was and what he was all about. He came to serve and not to be served. So even in the moment of need, he was open to the crowds. And the people came to him and they were hungry. And Jesus said, man, these people are hungry. We got to meet their needs. And the disciples were like, where are we going to feed all? Where are we going to get all the food to feed these people? Jesus said, you give them something to eat. So they said, well, we only have two fish and five loaves. Jesus said, we can do with that. And so they prayed, and God multiplied the loaves, and they ate them. Taking the loaves and the two fish, let's read, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. You know, this passage, and preparing for this sermon earlier this month or last month, because I gave this sermon in a couple of other places, I was struck by verse 22, where it says that Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. And I asked myself, why did Jesus have to make the disciples get into the boat to go to the other side? Well, I believe that the answer is in verse 20. They all ate and were satisfied. Can you relate to that? I mean, when you eat and are satisfied, like we did when we went to Sylvia's yesterday. But that didn't help. When you eat and you're satisfied, do you feel like doing anything? See, the Bible is very realistic. That is why Jesus had to make the disciples. Because life was good on that side. They had eaten and they had been satisfied. Life was good. But Jesus was not satisfied with life being good on this side. Are you guys with me so far? Jesus wanted the disciples to go to the other side. And I imagine the disciples said, but well, how about the crowds? And Jesus said, don't worry about the crowds. I'll dismiss the crowds. You get in the boat and you go to the other side. So I asked myself, why do you think he probably told them, I'll dismiss the crowds? Because I know my brothers. The disciples probably, after they didn't know how they were going to feed the crowd, after they fed the crowd, probably the crowd were coming up to them and saying, how did you guys do it? How did you feed all these people, 5,000 people? I bet sisters came up to the brothers and said, how did y'all do it? How did you feed 5,000? And I can just imagine Peter and Andrew saying, that's what we do. We feed the 5,000. I just could see it. That's why Jesus had to say, you know what? Get in the boat. I'll dismiss the crowd. We're going to the other side. When we talk about the other side in this nation, it just brings us to the realistic understanding that there are two sides. See, you know, God has been good to us. God has blessed us. If you're here, you're blessed. And if you're a disciple, you're doubly blessed. If your children are disciples, you're triply blessed. If you got a great job, you're quadruply blessed. I mean, there's blessings coming everywhere. And perhaps this morning, if you're like me, you're satisfied. Perhaps. What is the Lord saying to you? Perhaps you love the fellowship. You love coming in here because you know you're going to get 3, 4, 5, 6 hugs. More than the average, by the way. You're satisfied. The fellowship is awesome. But Jesus says we must cross over to the other side because this nation needs us to cross over to the other side. This nation is known for having two sides. Two sides have existed in this nation for 400 years. 400 years Africans have been here. Race has been a major source of division since the 1660s. This building was built in 1875. I was amazed by that when I walked in. But 1660s was 200 years before that. Race has divided this nation. Slave codes kept the people degraded for 200 years in this nation, based on the color of their skin. Churches in this country split over race in this nation, over slavery. The Baptist churches, the Presbyterian churches, the Methodist churches split north and south and over, and white and black, over racism. The nation split formally and led to the Civil War, where 600,000 men died. Even after emancipation, by the way, 600,000 is 2% of the population back then. If 2% of the population died today, that would be 6 million people. If we had a Civil War, and I don't recommend it, but there's people talking about it. it could cause, if 2% of the population died, it would be 6 million people. After the emancipation, racism continued because you can't legislate the hearts of men. Racism, black codes, segregation, Jim Crow laws further divided our nation. And the remnants of racism in our country remain today. It seems like over the last 10 years, it's been kind of bubbling up, sort of like from a septic tank that's gone bad. More and more over the last 10 years, racism is apparent in our culture. We have been, and by law, we were a racist nation, and in the hearts of men, you could see it all around you. We are a very divided and racist nation. But see, Jesus is not bound by our racist culture. Jesus crosses over back and forth in our culture. We have a mandate to go to the other side from Jesus. Matthew 28:18. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we are to make disciples of Africans, of Europeans, of Hispanics, of Asians. That's the mandate. Jesus doesn't want to hear about the racism. He understands. But even in his day, there was racism. Racism has been with us since the book of Genesis, when the Egyptians refused to eat with the Israelites. Jesus teaches us. And he teaches us to cross over. And do you know that the people of God have always been commanded to cross over? Look at, it's up here, the Israelites from Egypt. They were commanded to cross over the Red Sea and the desert to go into the promised land. Then, when Joshua took over, they were commanded to cross over the Jordan to go to the promised land. Jonah was commanded to go to Nineveh to preach. And what did he do? He refused, right? He went the other way until Moby Dick got him. And Moby Dick, literally, if you look at the map, Moby Dick crossed over with Jonah in his stomach and delivered him to the Ninevites. Now, Jonah wasn't obeying the Lord, but Moby Dick was. He was crossing over. And disciples, if you have been baptized, you had to cross over, right? You had to cross over from darkness to light. We are called to get into the boat, brothers and sisters. Jesus says to us today, get in that boat. Get in that. I know you're satisfied and you've been blessed. You've ate well. But get in the boat because we're going to the other side. You know, if you're a disciple, church, and I know you are because I know Sean and Robin. You are involved in family groups. I guess they're family groups here, Bible groups. They're Bible groups. They've been called a lot of things in my day. You're involved in midweeks. You know, Sean and Robin, if I know them, they've been urging you, get in the boat. Right? Are you on board? They do it. I know it. They did it when they were in Miami with us. You're challenged and encouraged and urge to reach out to brothers and sisters that are different from you. That your fellowship isn't based on whether, you know, your brother and sister is black or white or Asian or Latino. It doesn't matter. Or wider. It doesn't matter. We are brothers and sisters. We are challenged to go to the other side to share our faith. Even with people who are different from ourselves. Amen? And even now that God has put you in Flushing. This is a challenge. God has put you in Flushing, where there are 72,000 people living here. 70% of them are residents are of Asian heritage. There are no coincidences. Flushing is home to one of the largest Asian populations in the United States. I believe God is, just like everybody else, like all of us, is challenging you and us to cross over. And if it means reaching out to more Asians that are in this community, amen. Yeah. Amen. You know, challenging brothers and sisters to cross over to the other side and reach out to people that are different from them, you might as well be asking them to walk on water. You feel me? That's scary. Yeah. It is scary to reach out to someone who's different.
Yeah,
but I want to inspire you with this passage. Let's read in Matthew 14. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Jesus replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came to Jesus. You know, you hear me here talking about crossing over to the other side and reaching out to people who are different from you. And it's a little scary, let's be honest, because we're not used to that. We are used to staying with our own kind. We're used to that. It's actually, to be honest with you, it's only in the church that we got a hug from somebody from a different race, unless we had just scored a touchdown.
Right.
Or we did a spike on the volleyball. You understand? So it is in the church that we start to get acclimated to the whole idea of being friends with people from another race, to the point where we hug and we're together. Let me say to you that it's scary, but it ought to also intrigue you. You know, Peter saw Jesus walking on that water, and I'm sure that he was like the other disciples. They were scared. They were terrified. And they were screaming, and they were saying, "What is that? I've never seen that before." Maybe when you came into this church and you saw a white and a black or Latino Asian hugging each other, you say, "Whoa, what is that? I've never seen that before." It's scary. But then it becomes intriguing. Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. He had never seen something like that before, and he was terrified like the rest of them. But there was something that happened in his heart. While the brothers were yelling and screaming, Peter changed his screams and his fear. It changed to intrigue. And he said, while the other guys are screaming, he goes, "Wait a minute. Jesus, if it's you, call me and let me walk to you. Call me and let me come to you." And Jesus said, "Come." Notice what Jesus didn't say. Jesus didn't say, no, "You stay in the boat, send John because he and I are tight." He didn't say, no, "Stay in the boat, send Matthew because he throws some slamming parties and I can reach out to his friends." No, he said, "Come. You want to do something great? Come. You want to be able to reach out to someone who's different from you and see the power of God work in their lives to the point where you understand that this is not possible except for by the power of God? You want to see something like that special in your life? Come. You don't have to have qualifications. You don't have to get your doctorate. You don't have to be an evangelist. You just have to come. You need some inspiration? Let's talk about for a second here. This church is exceptional already. You know, they asked several pastors of, you know, denominations, senior pastors, how many of them thought that the church should be diversified? And 85% of them said, yes, the church should be diversified. So that 85 is the pastors who said, yes, it should be diversified. But then they asked them a second question. Do you lead a church that's diversified, that has not just one major race, but several, or at least two, multiple, plural? Only 13% could say that. Think about that. Then they asked congregants, members of churches, they asked them, you know, do you think that churches should be diversified racially? And 78% of them said yes. But then they asked them a second question. What kind of church are you most comfortable with? 51% could say, yeah, I can be in a church that's diverse. Meaning 49% said, no, I'd rather be with my own people. Wow. You see, Jesus says, get in the boat. Yeah. Come on. Get in the boat. We're crossing over. Yeah. Sean and Robin and your leaders are saying, same thing. Cross over. Do you need some inspiration this morning, brothers and sisters? Yeah. Jesus, keep your eyes on Jesus. Just like Peter, he kept his eyes on Jesus and he walked on that water. All right, keep your eyes on Jesus. Look at Jesus with the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman was shocked that he was talking to her. But because he talked to her, the whole town came and was saved. Others who followed Jesus have done the same thing. Philip reached out to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8. Peter reached out to Cornelius, remember him, the risk taker, who got out of the boat and walked on the water? He reached out to Cornelius, a Roman citizen, a centurion. Paul reached out to the Gentiles. And in Miami and Queens, we have seen this. I'm going to share some stories with you real quick. This is Tony Pender. Gentleman on the left, good looking dude. He recently passed in October. He died. He's been a disciple for 28 years, and he died. But when he was in college, he reached out to Ralph Ojeda, who's on the right, with his family, his lovely wife and their children. Tony Pender, obviously, is a black man. Ralph Ojeda is Cuban white. When Miami Church moved into, we weren't always the Miami Church. We were the South Florida, we were the Plantation Church, which is kind of ominous, that word, Plantation Church. It's a little ominous, but the Lord obscured that from my vision back in the day. But amen, God is good. Well, we planted the church in Miami. Okay, and we created a campus ministry on FIU. Tony Pender was reached out to by Anthony Battle on the campus. And then he, sharing his faith, reached out to Ralph. Now, Miami is predominantly Cuban. The Cuban-American community in Miami is big. And it is also very influential. Ralph ended up becoming an evangelist. And he helped lead the Miami region. He led the Spanish portion. And half of those folks over there owed their salvation to Ralph. And ultimately to Tony and, of course, Christ. But Tony was willing to cross over, to reach out to someone in that community. And that brother became an evangelist. And Tony continued. He continued crossing over. He reached out to another brother who now is a family group leader in Miami, and he's married. I didn't put his picture in there. But this brother, passed on. He crossed over in October, but not before he obeyed his Lord, and he crossed over. Amen? And then, now, you probably don't recognize this brother, Jerry Z, right? Okay, he's the one that is the arrows on. This is a long time ago. Okay, he probably doesn't look that way now. In fact, I know he doesn't look that way now because I'm going to show you another picture of him. But he was reached out to when he was a campus student by James Hamilton on the right. See, James was in class. And he prayed. And he asked God. He said, God, I'm going to share my faith. I'm sitting here in class. The person who sits next to me is going to get it. I'm going to share my faith. I'm sharing my faith, Lord. And old Jerry Z just came and sat in that chair. Praise God. And they studied the Bible. You know what? I appreciate James not going, oh man, he Asian, man. I don't know nothing about that. I was hoping for a brother, Lord. Why you ain't send me? He didn't. He told the Lord, I'm gonna share. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? sent an agent to sit next to him. And my brother James reached out. And look how happy he looks. Do you see that smile? Can it come, does it come through? You see the whites? Man, he's a happy dude. Probably thinking about Jerry on the other side there. And Jerry couldn't be here today. I think his children are sick. Yeah. But look at his lovely family. You know, it's a beautiful thing what God does. And if Jerry were here, I'm sure, now you can guys can ask him in midweek, I'm sure he is just so thankful that James Hamilton crossed over. Amen? Now, what you're going to find is you're going to be afraid sometimes. Just like you are now. You're having an existential crisis. You know what an existential crisis is? I looked it up. I'm going to tell you what it means. It means when you're afraid and you start questioning yourself. You understand? Peter, while he was walking on water, began to have an existential crisis. He began to be afraid. In Matthew 14, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? You know, don't judge Peter. Don't judge Peter because we have been there. You know, none of us can actually we haven't completely been there because none of us have walked on water physically. You know, but he had a very understandable reaction when he began to see the winds and the waves. And he took his eyes off the Lord and he began to be afraid. I want to encourage you and urge you today, ignore those fears. Ignore those fears. I'm sure when James Hamilton was sitting there and Jerry came and sat next to him, he had a certain level of fear. That's normal. But he ignored his fears and he shared his faith with, and now Jerry is our brother. Fear is inevitable. But you know what? Fear and prejudice go together. You know, you've heard it said that it's written in the scriptures that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Well, I also believe that fear is the root of all kinds of evil in society. But we have to ignore it. See, it is one some of the most biggest situations of oppression in the world history have been because of fear. The Egyptians oppressed the Israelites out of fear. The Pharaoh said, we better make them, subjugate them and put them to work, or else they're going to take we're going to be attacked and they're going to take the side of our attackers. Africans sold Africans out of fear in the slave trade. Europeans would offer tribe, they would go from tribe to tribe offering them guns if they help capture other tribes of Africans and sell them into slavery. And tribes, maybe one tribe might have refused the deal, but another tribe will take it on because they're afraid that tribe number three might take the deal. And so they began to do this. Fear is a horrible thing. It makes us irrational. It makes us do things that are really bad and really wrong. Americans instituted oppressive slave codes out of fear of Africans. Because obviously you're kidnapping all these people, you're bringing them in chains, you're forcing them to work for free. Of course they're not gonna be very happy and hostile. So they created these oppressive codes to keep them on the plantation and to keep them oppressed. And fear of African-American political power have caused, in this nation, black codes, segregation, and voter suppression in order to keep a people down. It's all fear. It's all fear. And this is why, and I think Desmond shared the scripture, there is no fear in love. That's a great scripture. There is no fear in love. You know, we have a lot of fears. Let's talk about them real quick. What are you afraid of? Let's try to work through some of these fears. What do I say? Here's my advice. After you introduce yourself, don't say much. Listen. Because people love to talk about themselves. And then later on, you can let the Bible do the talking for you. Just be a friend. Also, we have nothing in common. That's probably true. Obviously, coming from another culture, there's a lot you don't have in common, but there's a lot you do have in common. Figure that out. That's the mystery, right? And become all things to all people, like it says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. What if they reject me? That's a real fear. Well, you know what? If they reject you, they're not necessarily rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus, okay? So that puts you closer to Jesus and to say you can bond with Jesus because they've rejected you. Jesus said, if they reject me, they'll reject you. There is no fear in love. You know, to give this message was intimidating to me, to be honest with you. Because I had a brother ask me, Anthony Battle, he said, bro, I want you to come to our church and preach on crossing over. And that, you know, that kind of scared me because I was like one of those disciples who had ate and was very satisfied. I'm just keeping it real. I had just got my doctorate. I'm about to publish a book. And, you know, and he told me, bro, I need you to come preach on crossing over. He said, I told him, well, so, bro, that's not my thing. That's, Friday is more in line with my thing. You know what I'm saying? I said, bro, that's not my baby. There's another brother who does that. That's his kind of baby. Let's get him to come over. He said, bro, we go back a long time. He said, bro, can you borrow the baby and bring him to Tallahassee? I said, bro, I could do that. I could borrow the baby. But I began to have a moment because I'm like everybody else. I've studied the Bible with a lot of people, but most of them are like me. I've been well-fed and satisfied. And I began to just have this existential crisis because I don't believe in getting in front of God's people and preaching on something I'm not doing myself. I don't believe in lying to people. So I just share with you, I struggled. And you know what, God, you know how Jesus grabbed Peter and pulled him up and said, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? I got you. I got an email from a brother named Joe. Let me show you his picture. This brother right here, he sent me. I was in the midst of this whole into myself thing problem. And Joe Salen sent me a note. Now, Joe Salen is on the left. You see where he's from. And he sent me a note. Hey, Rich, Rocco, you know, is my nickname. He said, man, bro, how you doing, man? Been thinking about you, just wanted to send you a note. I think the Lord told him, go send Rocco an email because he's struggling right now. And when I got that email, I was reminded of what God had done in my life years ago. I had forgotten. When I was an intern for the church, I studied the Bible with Jock on the right. And we became roommates. He was in my ministry. And Jock crossed over and reached out to Joe Salen. Jock, you can see where he's from. You see where Joe's from. As you can tell, Jock continued crossing over. You ask Jock, he's from Africa. He said, how you like the crossing over thing, bro? I said, man, I like it very much. This is the crossing over stuff. I think it's becoming a favorite doctrine of the brothers. But I spent some time with Jock recently. He told me, he said, you know, when I reached out to Joe, there were some white guys that were telling him, dude, don't have nothing to do with that guy. That guy is from Africa. He's black. Don't have nothing to do with him. And when we studied the Bible, Joe pulled Jock aside and told him, man, I've been getting a lot of flack. And they've been telling me not to hang out with you because you're black and you're from Africa. Of course, Joe is from Sweden, you know. He don't know all that baggage and stuff. Thank God he didn't listen. Thank God he ignored the fears. Jock didn't have no fear. He said, yo, come to church with me. Let's do this. We studied with Joe. He became a disciple. And he's still faithful. He's in Stockholm, Sweden. And Jock is in Broward, South Florida. You see, God has been doing this for a long time. We just haven't been looking at it. He's been doing this among us. And he wants to do more. God wants to do more of this. God loves people. He wants people to come together And if it means us getting that boat and crossing over, that's what he wants. He wants children in his kingdom. He's a father. He loves people. I can't tell you enough, and I'm learning this more and more by God, that he wants to gather people. Read the parables. He loves to bring people into his kingdom. And so this is what he did. And so God wants to do something very similar in your life. What will be said about you 20, 30 years from now when this church has Asians and Africans and Europeans and Hispanics in this church? What will be said about you? That's what you should be thinking about. I want to please God. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I just want to do God's will. What will you find when you get to the other side? When they had crossed over, they landed on Gennesaret. And the men of that place recognized Jesus. And I underline Jesus for a reason. They sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. You know what you're going to find on the other side? People are going to recognize Christ in you. People are going to see you and they're going to go, man, this person is different. You know, because people are so used to staying with their own people. They're going to see in you Christ. And you know what else they're going to do? Just like that passage says, they're going to go to the surrounding. Let me go back to that passage. They're going to go to the surrounding areas and find people, their family. And they're friends. And they're going to say, you know what? I have found something. This is different. I haven't seen this before. These people are not like what we see around. People keeping to themselves. They cross over. They love people of all races. And you're also going to find that sick people will begin to come to the church. What I mean by that is sinners. Like us. You're going to find that people have the same needs to be healed. That's what you're going to find. It's going to be amazing. They're going to need what you have. They're going to need a relationship with God. They're going to need purpose in their lives. They're going to need something meaningful in their lives. They're going to need the forgiveness of their sins and the grace that comes with Jesus Christ. That's what you're going to find. When you get past the veneer, the race, and the color, we're all the same with the same needs. You know, when in preparing for these sermons, you know, I decided, you know what? I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna fast. I'm gonna be like Peter. I'm gonna say, just Jesus, God, let me come, do something in my life. Do something special. So I decided to fast. I fasted 3 days. And I'm just sharing this with you. Just, you may not fast 3 days. Peter didn't fast 3 days before he walked on water. That's what I needed to do. You know what I'm saying? I needed to fast. Okay? So, I fasted on the third day. On the third day of my fast, there was a crime spree in my neighborhood. 21 cars got broken into on the third day of my fast. That morning, my neighborhood was just... neighbors were out. They got flushed out of their homes. And neighbors start talking to each other. And I realized right there, I'm looking at my neighbors. My next door neighbor is white. His neighbor is from Peru. Across the street, African American. To the right, Jamaican. To the right, Philippines. To the right, Central Americans, to the right, Haitians, to the right, Cuban. And I said, oh Lord, what have you done? And then what happened was my neighbor to the right, who's white, he says, you and I need to go knocking on doors and we need to have a cookout to talk about crime in this neighborhood. Can we do it at your house? And I said, sure. Of course. Of course. And so we planned it. Now what happened was that we had to cancel it, actually twice because of inclement weather. But we finally had a Crime Watch meeting in my home 2 Wednesdays ago. I ordered pizza. I probably shouldn't have, right? I ordered pizza, and we had 11 people there. 6 countries represented. That was God. It was the Lord. And what I want to say to you is, God wants to do the same thing. It is not a coincidence that you are in Flushing. It's not. I'm convinced of that. What should I do? What should you do? Do what Peter did. He asked Jesus, can I come to you on the water? Can I participate in this greatness of walking on water? Can I participate in this greatness of crossing over to the other side? Can you lead me to somebody open? Can you pray the James Hamilton prayer? Whoever sits right here is going to, they coming with me. Pray that prayer. Or if you feel like you need to be more on something more radical, fast. 1, 2, 3. Whatever it is that you need to do. You pray, you fast, and then watch for the door that God is going to be open in your life. The Holy Spirit. All you're going to have to do is, all I had to do is say yes. Well, of course, you can do it in my home. Make yourself available and walk through that door. And when you walk through that door, you know what you're going to be doing? You'll be walking on water to the other side of race. God bless you. I love you, church. Thank you very much for your encouragement.